What is up, Steelers Nation? Thank you so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. I'm Noah Strackbine, joined by my main man, Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find us on youtube.com/Steelers Collective and check us out anywhere you get your podcast. The Pittsburgh Steelers, massive news last night. What were you doing when you saw the news of Brendan Sorsby declaring, maybe without ever being accepted to the NFL supplemental draft?
Yeah, I mean, I was scrolling through Twitter. That's how I found out about it. But, I mean, all this stuff, about suing the NCAA, I think his parents, his lawyer kind of realized, hey, listen, this is a whole bunch of effort, a whole lot of money, and we don't even know if it's going to work. Let's go to the NFL. We can make real money in the NFL, too. And that's probably what their calculus was. So not totally surprised, but no, when you look at the supplemental draft, it's not like the NFL has really dived into that a lot the last couple of years.
No, I agree. It's kind of crazy how spread out it always is, but it also shows you what its intentions are. And its intentions are exactly something like this, where you find yourself in a situation where you are an NFL prospect, but maybe your own decisions put you or took you out of that last year of contention before the NFL draft. And I mean, does that push back? Let's start there. Does the fact that the NFL isn't always all in on the supplemental draft, and even when there is a supplemental draft, it's never a big, giant, flashy price tag for these guys.
Right.
This is different, I think. But how different? Do you still view Brendan Sorsby as like a high-end pick, or do you think this is going to dim down and maybe people are jumping the gun on how high it's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was doing a little bit of research on this morning. The last time a player was selected in the supplemental draft, 2019.
Yeah.
It's been 7 years. And I was just scrolling through the names. This is probably the biggest name since Terrell Pryor, I'm guessing. You know, Pryor came out now. You know, looking back, Noah, like at the time, it was a big deal. Oh, he accepted benefits. Now it's like everybody, you're like, you're not even going to play major college football unless you're getting improper benefits, which are now proper under NIL. So, I mean, it's crazy how much has changed here in 15 years. I would argue, I don't know if you agree with me or not, I would argue this betting is a little bit more serious than the improper benefits in terms of, you know, the decision makers in the NFL. But there's no doubt Brendan Sorsby has talent. Somebody is going to waste a pick on him, and it's only a matter of which team is going to do it.
It's super interesting that you say waste a pick, because there is like that possibility that it doesn't work out. And $90,000 worth of gambling is probably much more serious in the NFL than it is in NCAA, I guess, or at least if you ask a couple of Texas judges. But to me, like, Brendan Sorsby is a guy, he's a first round pick next year, right? Like, I don't think anybody argues that, at least going into the season. A lot of things change, obviously, but you do a way too early mock draft for 27. He's in the first round, and he's one of the first quarterbacks taken in the first round. But how much does this affect everything? Because I look at it and go, if he went back to college and played well and were a year removed from the gambling stuff, I think Brendan Sorsby is still a first-round pick. I think somebody's going to take a shot on him. But now you're looking at it going, we're not removed from it. The NFL is going to look at this like hockey's going to be the biggest topic of conversation. And just like you said, you're quote-unquote wasting a pick. Like, you are taking a shot on somebody that isn't 100% developed yet, not to where you'd like them to be, and comes with a huge risk, like huge risk. What's the highest pick do you think the Steelers would go with in a case like this, if they had interest?
I mean, no, any NFL team, again, more research on my part. How about that? On summer vacation, I'm doing research for all of our fans out there. The last time a first-round supplemental pick was used on a player, 1992.
Wow.
The New York Giants selected Dave Brown. Now, Dave Brown wasn't a great player, but the Giants thought enough of him way back when, what is that, 30-some-odd years ago, to forfeit a first-round pick for the right to take him in the supplemental draft. Now, some other team's going to probably do a second or a third, but I think for the Steelers to do it, I just because of what they've done the last 2 years with Will Howard and Drew Aller, I would say, you know, fifth, sixth, somewhere.
Really?
Somewhere in that range.
You think it's that low? Do you think other – you said other teams are going to go a second or a third.
Yeah.
You don't think the Steelers would have any interest in a second or a third? Like, you don't think that the summer could go by? Actually, I'll lay it out like this. They go to the pro day, and he just looks great. You don't think that they consider it? I look at it as – everybody keeps saying the word desperate. You're in a desperate situation. You make desperate moves. The Steelers are not – I mean, they – I guess they are in a desperate situation, but – they're not operating like they're desperate at all. They're operating like their idea right. is just keep drafting quarterbacks until one works out. But I don't look at Will Howard or Drew Aller as like the reason they wouldn't draft a quarterback. I still think they draft a quarterback next year in the first round, even if both of those guys look good this year, because they're just all in on it.
You know what's going to be really interesting when he does have this workout is how many teams show up for it.
True.
That to me is going to be really telling. Now the draft is in July, so I would assume that's going to be coming up here, probably in a week or two. You know, that would happen. You know, NFL teams are on vacation. These guys want their time off. I mean, is Mike McCarthy going to go, or is it going to be some other front office executive? Now, if it's Omar Khan, you could say, okay, there's going to be some interest. Andy Weidel. Okay. Yeah. There's some interest there, but if there's some low-level scout that you know, people outside the team have never heard of, then that could probably tell you what the Steelers you know, are thinking about that situation. But it is fascinating from that perspective. And I know what team I'm thinking of that probably would waste the pick on them.
I have two of them that I feel pretty good about them. Are one of them the – I like to call them the Shabrowns, because shout out to Shedeur Sanders. The other one for me are the Jets. I think the Jets might.
They're desperate, aren't they? I mean, that's what you look for. You look for a desperate team with a quarterback situation that's kind of eh. You don't want to chance it and be fighting other teams for that number one pick, you know, the Arch Manning sweepstakes. So,
yes,
I could see that. And listen, the Browns took Josh Gordon in the supplemental draft way back then.
And they're the only team to ever have it work out for him with Josh Gordon, at least.
Yeah. I mean, he was an awesome player when he was right. But how often was he right?
No, yeah, very.
I mean, he just couldn't stay off the drugs. And, you know, that was his career. It cost him his career. So there's a perfect example. This guy has issues coming in to the supplemental draft. He had issues going out of the league. Can Brendan Sorsby convince teams, okay, hey, I got this under control. I'm not a gambling addict. I went to rehab. I'm good now. Can he convince him? Can he convince teams in what, you know, 4 months' time, however long it's been between, you know, the last time he placed the bet, can he convince teams that he is good, or is this going to be an ongoing process? So it's – I don't know. I know some teams are going to pull the trigger on it, but
– yes.
You know, I think a lot of teams are going to back off too.
I think a lot of teams are going to back off too. I think teams will show – teams with a quarterback need – I think are at least going to show some interest. You know, I don't think the whole gambling thing pushes them away from investigating it themselves, because just like when it first happened and, you know, the Steelers at least did their due diligence. I don't know how much homework they actually did, but they at least had some conversations. And when this thing gets rolling, I would imagine all the teams who need a quarterback just look at it like that. Like, we got to do our homework. Yeah. Because if he is right, if everything is good, the NFL will know, you know, the NFL will know way more than we know, and they'll be able to make that decision. Let's say they are thinking Sorsby to some degree, any degree. Yeah. How much of the decision has to do with Will and or Drew? Not right now, but even in the future, because I'm somebody that. Look, I think Will Howard could start next year, and maybe Will Howard could start 2 years. Maybe he surprises me and does more. Maybe Drew Aller turns into a franchise quarterback. If you ask me who the Steelers' next long-term starting quarterback is, I say most likely isn't on the roster yet, but they're going to try to find him.
Yeah.
Do they impact it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Will Howard has the benefit of the people in the front office now seeing him for the last 14, 15 months. So It's not a great situation for him because Mike McCarthy came in, new coach, has been on the job, what, 5 months, drafted a quarterback in the third round. But he does have a leg up on the competition. I mean, he took every snap with the second team offense this spring. They are giving him, or they're going to give him every opportunity to win the backup job this summer. But the exposure to Mike McCarthy, really, Mike's been on the job for 5 months. You know, Will probably didn't come in until late March, early April. You know, they had some on-field work. So the evaluation for Mike is still ongoing. And the most important part is going to take place in Latrobe at training camp after yes. Brendan Shoresby has been drafted. So there's a little window there where Mike McCarthy has been able to evaluate both Will Howard and Drew Aller, but I don't think he could feel great about it. I mean, you want to see these guys in games when, you know, when the bullets are flying for real. That's how coaches evaluate. I mean, Mike McCarthy absolutely loves OTAs and any time he can spend with quarterbacks, but he doesn't base his entire analysis on these guys on what they do in April and May and, you know, in early June. So, you know, it's good that Will Howard's been around longer than Drew Aller. But I don't know, when you look at it from the big picture perspective, like we are, is the future franchise quarterback on the roster. I don't think, you know, he's got a leg up on the competition, but, you know, I don't think it's a huge leg up.
No, I don't think it's a huge leg up either. I also think that they're in different places in their career. Will's at a place where he's a second year guy. He came into the NFL with a much higher floor than Drew Aller's, but also a much lower ceiling right. than Drew Aller's. And yeah. the Steelers are looking at it like, we drafted Drew Aller to rip him down to the studs and rebuild him. That's what they did. Will Howard, Mike McCarthy kept saying, he's like, this guy jumped off the screen on tape. It's about the footwork. I got to fix his footwork. Like, he didn't sit here and say, we have to reshape everything like they're doing with Drew Aller. Drew Aller is a guy that I don't think has any real shot to compete for anything more than where he is right now this season. Whereas in Will Howard's obviously fighting for a backup quarterback job, and he's going to get the opportunity to prove that. And I think that's good, like you said, to have a leg up on the competition. My thing is, how, like, you'd have to show, and in different degrees, honestly, Will Howard would have to show so much in the preseason and training camp for the Steelers to say that is for certain our guy. Yeah. There's no questions asked. I think Drew has to look like really good, but I think Will would have to look almost elite in a small sample size, where Drew could look pretty decent and the Steelers get to thinking like, oh, maybe we're doing something with this guy. I just think they're different launching points on where they are.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Drew is likely going to have a redshirt year, and it happens, especially with guys who are, you know, term projects. And I don't want to, you know, loosely put that term on Drew, but he's a third round pick, and there's definitely some work that coaching staff has to do with him. Let's play the game where we check off the boxes for, let's do Howard and Shoresby. Okay.
Yeah.
Athleticism, Shoresby, right?
Shoresby all day. Absolutely.
Running ability, Shoresby, right?
Shoresby.
Arm strength.
Shoresby.
Shoresby. Okay. So there's three in his favor. Okay. We might get to more, but if you're talking, this is going to be huge. Leadership.
Will Howard.
Right. I mean, he's done everything right since
he's been. He's not a gambling addict. Yes. He's not a gambling addict.
And that's, you know, character plays into it too. So character for Will Howard. Now, some of these other ones, we don't really know Shoresby all that well, but processing the game. Seems like Will Howard's pretty decent at this stage of his career.
Yes, I think I agree with that. Especially compared to last year and when he came in here, it just looks like everything's very slow for him. Yes.
Yeah. Now, Shoresby, I hear different things about him. Now, some games he's really on, he's reading the defenses, and other games, you know, he's been a little bit out of sorts. So, you know, we'll have to wait for some other draft analysts and some other GMs to weigh in on that aspect of it. But the point is, Shoresby is going to have a lot of the athletic traits in his favor, not only with the Steelers evaluation and all this, but every team across the board in the NFL is is going to have that same evaluation. What these teams have to figure out, again, is, okay, the character.
Yes. You know,
do we want to bring this guy into our building? If we do use first or a second round supplemental round pick on him, that's an investment. That's a draft pick we cannot use, 10 months from now. So do we want to have that type of commitment where we're giving this guy reps and we're actually invested in him? So lots of questions to be answered, I think. I'm sure, you know, like I said, these teams, these GMs are going on vacation. This was maybe something they didn't want to grapple with right now, but some of these guys might be in their beach houses and looking at the film and on the phone with their owners and saying, okay, do we want to do this?
Let's think about it. I agree.
Kind of what's going on right now.
I think it's wild. The one of the biggest lessons I've learned, you know, in my short career is how serious the NFL takes this vacation time. How they just go like, it's sorry guys, I'm gone. Like, I'm not answering phones. And it's the whole league. Just the whole, everybody just shuts down. They're like, I'm gone. This is planned a year ago. And I like, you're right. You're spot on. Who's going to actually show up? Which I like, that's where I go with this is, It comes down to taking a shot on a guy. That's all it is. And Brendan Sorsby, just like we did, we checked off all the boxes. He checks off the boxes of a guy you would take a shot on. It's just a matter of how comfortable you feel with the off the field stuff. But at the same time, how comfortable you feel with the off the field stuff compared to how low of a pick is it just, you have to do this. Like, you can't not do this because you're a team that needs that next star quarterback.
Yep.
If Brendan Sorsby hits, which, you know, is not a guarantee. It's not even close to a guarantee, but if he does and you use a fourth round draft pick on him.
Yeah.
That's the biggest steal in the NFL.
You're looking like a genius.
A genius.
And listen, we should point out, like, you know, NFL teams have all these people involved in the draft. I mean, from scouts to GMs, assistant GMs. And I think our hardcore fans will know this, but they also have somebody who's in law enforcement on their staff. They are paid members of the staff, and they help take care of things when things go awry off the field. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of a legal problem, an arrest here. Okay. You know, the Steelers and other teams have people to take care of that. They also do a lot of digging, personal background information on these guys. So the Steelers guy is going to be involved in this. He might even take a trip to go see. He might be on the phone with the coaches, the high school coach, the college coaches. This guy was at Cincinnati. This guy was at different schools. They're going to be doing a lot of digging. It's just not going to be Omar Khan, Andy Wido, and the scouts. It's going to be the people on their staff who have legal backgrounds, law enforcement backgrounds, who have the sources to go in and check on this stuff. How serious is it? Maybe, was it more than 90,000? Was he actually doing this online? Was he doing it with bookies on the street? I mean, was it more serious? They are going to find all this out. So we know a little bit about what's going on. We know what has been processed with the 90,000 in bets or whatever that number is. But what we need to find out, what these teams are going to find out, is was it more?
Was it? That's a great point. That's a great point. And I think that's what's going to decide it, is at the end of the day, if the Pittsburgh Steelers show their hand, or it just comes out at some point that the Steelers were in on Brendan Sorsby and they wanted to make a bid and they made X high of an offer, you have to honestly look at that and say, they know something we don't, you know, and it's in a positive light. And at the other side of it, if the Browns and the Jets or just the Browns are the only team that do anything for Brendan Sorsby, you got to look at it and go, what did the rest of the NFL learn? What did they see? What did they hear that said, no, we got to be out on this? And we're gonna find out. I guess we'll end the Brendan Sorsby and the quarterback talk with this. Do you predict he's going to end up in Pittsburgh? And even if you don't predict he's going to end up in Pittsburgh, what's your prediction for the pick they would use for him?
Okay. I will say Brendan Sorsby will not end up with the Steelers, but if they did, I think it would be a fifth-round pick, Noah. And let's make a prediction on which team he'll go to as well. I'm torn between Cleveland and the Jets. I kind of like your Jets pick. I'm going to go with the Jets.
The Jets, they just – the Browns have 42 quarterbacks, and none of them were real good, you know? So I just don't know if you could convince a fan base that we went from Deshaun Watson to Brendan Sorsby. That just doesn't feel like it adds up. I'm going to stick with you. I don't think the Steelers end up with Brendan Sorsby, not where we sit today. I push for it. I think that they should be at least highly considering it. If everything comes back positive, I say go for Brendan Sorsby. But I don't think they're going to end up with him. I think the highest they would offer, I think they'd surprise us. I think they'd go third. And that's just a guess. But I think they'd go third because the only way that they're bidding on him is if they really feel he's going to be good and they're confident in that answer. And then I'll go yours. I'm going to go the Browns. how does that just not end up as the perfect fit? The Browns and Brendan Sorsby. It's just the perfect quarterback room. Maybe they bring Kenny Pickett back, you know, and it's a good time. It's a good time.
you make a good point. Like, even if you use a third round pick on him, you're a genius if he turns out to be a starter. It's not even a bad pick if he turns out to be a backup.
No,
if all this gambling stuff truly is in the background,
you have to be 100% certain. Yeah. And again, I will never know. You will never know, but the Steelers will know, and they will know so much more than we will ever hear. And they'll be able to make that decision for sure. All right. That's everything on our agenda today. With that said, we're going to take a quick break on the other side of it. We're going to start answering all your questions. But first, we got a word from our boys over at Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app and the best place to win cash while watching sports. It's easy. Just pick your players, set your lineups, and watch. You'll pick more or less on individual stats for each player, or you'll pick winners, spreads, or totals on any major game, or you get creative and make your picks on certain mentions during the games. Plus, Prize Picks operates in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. Fun one here today. We're going Jalen Ramsey getting added to the mix here on over a quarter of a sack on the season with Michael Pittman Jr. parlayed here over 774 and a half yards. We've talked Michael Pittman Jr. Yeah. I think that's a really reasonable number.
Yep.
Is Jalen Ramsey going to get a sack, his third sack in 2 years with the Steelers?
I mean, they're going to line him up everywhere, right? So you would think at some point, Patrick Graham would call a blitz, would call his number. Does he get home? He got home last year for at least one, didn't he?
He got home two in one game against the Browns. Yeah. His first two sack game ever.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say yes. And that number on Pittman, I think I've said this the last couple of weeks, it's a really good number because Metcalf should be over 1,000. The offense should be much better. He's gonna be like your third down, you know, security blanket target. That's a really good number, 775.
Yeah, I agree. Using our promo code HMAYER by clicking the link below, new users who play $5 get $50 in lineups. Just download the app using the promo code and the link. Can't wait to hear your lineups. All right. Shout out to our subscribers. Before we get moving here, hit that like and subscribe button. I think we're like 150 subs away from 1,000. That would be 64 people right now. Let's just all hit the like and subscribe button and let's get it going here. Let's get it going. Let's get things kicking here. Everybody's wondering where Caboli is. Did he get cursed? He might have got cursed. I think we should have spent an entire episode talking solely about the Steelers' backup quarterback job and how we believe that's going to pan out, because we all know where Caboli would have been.
Yeah.
Caboli's on vacation. He'll be back next week. Drink Keystone Light. Noah, hear me out. The Steelers are real contenders to win Sorsby. The other teams that need quarterbacks are this is a family-friendly show for right now. Maybe we'll switch that up later. So they will already be able to draft a quarterback without giving up. Steelers are easy winners on this. I mean, I think that's a real possibility that the rest of the NFL, just like you said, they don't show up, and it's the Steelers versus the Browns versus the Jets. And I saw somewhere that the Browns aren't even that interested in them. So you rule out a team like that, maybe it is just the Steelers and the Jets, you know, and you could just toss it in there.
There might be like only 5 or 7 teams that truly have real interest. Again, I don't know that the Steelers are going to be one, but we have to discuss it just because they've been in this quarterback, what do you want to call it? derbies, you know, carousel for
carousel
since Ben retired after the 2021 season. So it's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been long enough where somehow they found themselves, quote unquote, not being desperate. They were desperate with Russell Wilson, let's be very honest.
Yeah.
Aaron too. I think year one of Aaron, you could call that desperation. Year two of Aaron is like planned chaos, but it's planned chaos with the assumption that next year's it. There are no more gap years. That's the one where you're going to figure it out. And this does give them an upper hand, but again, like, it comes with massive risk. Let me ask that question. Where would you rank? And I get it, it's a year out, but would you put Brandon Sorsby in like your top five quarterbacks next year? If you're thinking about it, if you've thought about it, I know some people don't think that far.
I've definitely thought about it. Who was it? ESPN or the Athletic came out and said they have six first round quarterbacks next year.
Yeah. Somewhere in that ballpark.
So I think Sorsby was, I don't know if Sorsby was included in that because that's before all this stuff broke last evening. But yeah, you know, I think Arch Manning is probably at the top there. And then, you know, we could probably argue who's second, third, and fourth. But yeah, I think Sorsby would definitely be in the top five for sure.
Me too. I think he's going to climb, or he would have climbed as high as like number three. You know, Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Brandon Sorsby. He's just got everything you're looking for. And if you're a team that believes they could build a quarterback, like the Steelers, you know, he would have been there. He would have been there.
How about this, Noah? If he came out in this year's draft.
Oh, he's the first. Well, Fernando Mendoza's going first. He's going second. He'd go second
before,
pick overall.
Before Ty Simpson.
Oh, easy. Easy before Ty Simpson. So I think
the Rams are a system team, though. And I think Simpson is a system quarterback. So it would definitely depend on the flavor, right?
I agree with that. But I don't think Sorsby would have made it to 13. I think he would have went number two overall.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like Dante Moore. If Dante Moore came out, I think he would have went number two overall. Ty Simpson, to me, there was a gap, but I think Brandon Sorsby's in that mix of like a guy that, again, he's just got all the tools, you know? And that's the other part of it is when it comes to Ty Simpson, like you were guessing on what he's going to become because he doesn't have the experience. Brandon Sorsby has the experience. So you could kind of play the game of like you at least have – somewhat of a knowledge of where he is. USA Citizen guys, we have Aller and I thought Will Howard. What happened? Stop being fickle. What is your outlook on both of these guys long term, where we sit today?
Well, I mean, I think we covered it. You know, I think Aller, a lot of things to like about him, but man, that's way in the future. Like, you're not even thinking about him getting on the field in 2026. And so much depends on how he responds to coaching over the next year. So that one is kind of off for me. I'm fascinated by Will Howard. I'll admit it. Like, for a sixth-round pick, I'm just like, it's not just the Steelers, Noah. Like, it's John Gruden.
Yeah. It's
other people who have quarterback backgrounds who really like this guy. Now, you know, some of it because they're breaking them down on TV. And, yeah, I mean, that's some of it. But there's just something that I really – like his poise, his ability to command the huddle, leadership. Like, he checks all those boxes. I just don't know about the arm strength, decision-making. What's he going to look like when he's under pressure? Those are the things we don't know, but he's done – a lot of things right in his first, 15 months he's been in the city, and I'd like to see him perform in these preseason games. That's to me, these three preseason games are going to be huge for his development, and I think it's going to really tell the tale of what the Steelers think of him and, you know, how he separates or doesn't separate himself from the others here in the next few weeks.
I agree. It's kind of crazy how I don't look at Will Howard as a guy that ever turns into a franchise quarterback, and maybe that'll change. But I do look at him as a guy that's going to get an opportunity with the Steelers. And right now, if I had to guess who's the starting quarterback of the Steelers in 27, I'd say as long as Will Howard looks good in the preseason, it's Will Howard. Yeah. He's gonna be that guy. What he makes of that, I don't know, because it's exactly it. Will Howard was drafted by Mike Tomlin to be a cool, calm, collected under pressure quarterback to back up whoever they drafted in 26 for the rest of time. That's what he was drafted to do. Mike McCarthy comes in here and says, maybe you're a starter, not a backup. He's going to bring that same cool, calm, and collected under pressure presence with him to starts. You win a couple of games like that, next thing you know, you're a guy, you know? So I don't know. Just like you said with Drew Aller, though, that's like I'm sitting here trying to evaluate Drew Aller every week and going, yeah, he looks better, without trying to like make it look like I'm hyping up Drew Aller, because right. It's just so early on. It's you're looking at him going like, oh, you threw three good passes today. That's a good day for Drew Aller right now, you know? And that's it is, but I have no idea what he's going to be. No clue what Drew Aller is going to be.
No one does. Steelers don't even know.
None. They have zero clue. They're just guessing. They're hoping for the best. That's why they drafted him. And I keep saying it. Like, they're going to, no matter how the Steelers quarterback situation turns out in 27, Drew Aller's here, and the plan for him doesn't change at all. It's just develop him, because if whoever we want to be the starter doesn't turn out to be good, there's a chance Drew Aller turns out to be ridiculous. So
I don't want to freak out the fans, but as we sit here today, do you think they are 100% done with the vets? Like, do you automatically think it's going to be Howard or a draft pick next year?
No. You want to know who I think the Steelers starting quarterback of 27 is going to be?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers. That's who I think the starting quarterback's going to be.
He already announced that he's done.
No, he announced last year he's done, and then he went on Cam's show. He announced on the Pat McAfee show he was finished, and then on Cam's podcast he said, you never know. And I'm telling you, I'm skeptical. But the right quarterback presents itself. The Baker Mayfield, you know, looking for whatever, two-year deal maybe before he gets back on his feet, or maybe not. Maybe he's looking for a longer one. I think the Steelers would go veteran. I do think that's out there for sure. Kyler Murray.
My read on things is I think Steelers fans think it's going to be Howard or a draft pick or Aller.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think it might be a little bit higher percentage that it might be another, I don't want to say retread, but it might be somebody who's been around for a while.
Do you think that they'd go retread like a J.J. McCarthy if he doesn't work out? Right?
He's a different type of retread. He's like Will Howard and Drew Aller, though, right? I mean, a little bit higher with pedigree. You might, I mean, at this point, after what the Vikings have done to sort of recruit over him, you could argue he was overvalued in the draft.
For sure.
Maybe he was a second or third round talent. So I don't know. That would be an interesting one. I haven't really thought about that. But, yeah, there's another guy who could be on the market.
That's what I'm saying. If he finds himself somewhere for absolutely nothing. Yeah. But I don't know if I asked because I was genuinely curious. Like, I don't know if I would think the Steelers would go that direction either. Yeah. Kyler Murray, I think they'd go after if he was, you know, successful in 26. But I agree.
McCarthy, he might get the Kenny Pickett treatment. Might get traded for a third or a fourth round pick.
That's what I'm saying. And then ends up maybe in Pittsburgh, you know. Ryan, do you think teams like the Cardinals, Browns, or Jets might skip on Sorsby because they may tank for the number one pick next year? That's also another really good point here, is what if teams like the Browns and the Jets are saying, and you could even toss the Cardinals in here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going after Arch Manning. Why would I go after Brandon Sorsby? I'm going to have a top three pick in the draft next year. You know, my quarterback's Carson Beck. We're not going to win many games. So
I guess you could. The next question is, how many guys are close to Manning and what's the pecking order? Maybe some of these teams have somebody above Manning. Maybe people view Manning. Okay, Manning is the number one overall player in this draft. But man, this Dante Moore is like number three or number five. You know, like, I mean, look at that 2004 draft. I mean, you had Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Now, Roethlisberger wasn't really in the number one conversation.
Yeah.
But Rivers and Manning were going back and forth. And you can make a really good argument that by the end of their careers, the guy who was picked number 11 turned out to be the best quarterback. Now, he and Eli both won two Super Bowls. People can, you know, argue back and forth. But I think a lot of people, not just in Pittsburgh, would say Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback among that trio.
Yes. Yes. I feel the same way. And I, like, again, it makes it really, I think it makes it interesting for multiple reasons. I mean, look at the Patrick Mahomes situation. If you want to tie it to the Steelers side of things, like, maybe the Steelers are sitting here going, why would I go get Brendan Sorsby when this guy, who everybody's rating quarterback 7 going into the season,
yeah,
I think is quarterback 2, you know, and we're going to trade up to 11 to go get him, and he's going to turn out to be great. I think it could go, I think it could go both sides, but this is a really good point by Ryan. KGK is for life. What's your dream quarterback room for the 2027 Steelers and beyond? Brendan Sorsby. No, I'm kidding. Oh, that's tough. That's, does it have, would you think rookie? Yeah. I guess dream rookie's got to be in there somewhere.
I would love to see them go young. I would love for it to be Howard, Aller, and a first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I think that would rip
off the Band-Aid and just go for it. Okay. We're not going to say we're rebuilding, but we're actually going to rebuild.
We're going to rebuild. I think that's, yeah, I agree. The only quarterback that I think I could make an argument for is Baker Mayfield to, like, sneak his way in there. But Baker Mayfield would have to win you Super Bowl for that to actually, like, work out in your face. It can't be a Russell Wilson, like, keeping you. This isn't a keeping you alive thing anymore. This is a, you need to pull it off. That's the guy that you went and got. So I agree. I think I'd have to go young. I do. Renegade Minka here. Besides a pro day, are teams allowed to meet with him face-to-face or Zoom to get better insight to the player? I think it's only the pro day, right?
I did a lot of research on this, Noah, but I did not get into the nitty-gritty of, like, the actual rules. I would imagine because everyone's in the same boat, they would do something like as a group. They would have people meet in one place, and they wouldn't give certain advantages, but I'm not entirely sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know either. From the layout I've seen, just the simple layout, it's just the pro day, and then you go from there. But I mean, maybe I think this is very new to everybody involved, which is pretty crazy. All right, keep sending in your questions. But first, I want to give a little shout out to our boys over at SeatGeek. And as it rains, 10 minutes after I watered my plants, that's awesome. Shout out. Ray, I think you're going to like this. And Mark, if you're out there too, which I think I saw him floating around out there, I think you're going to like this one as well. I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app with more than 70,000 events listed, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. MLB is in full swing. The NBA playoffs just ended, and the NFL season is fast approaching, which means now is the time for SeatGeek. I don't know about you guys, but when I think of me, Ray, and Caboli, I think of Journey. And you know we're going to Journey. I need 3 tickets, and you know SeatGeek is the way to go. Plus, I've got a promo code for you guys. You guys can use code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off any tickets with promo code COLLECTIVE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you to SeatGeek. Shout out to SeatGeek. Ray, you a Journey fan?
Don't stop believing. Heck yeah.
I was in Italy probably about a month ago now, and the last night we were there, I'm in a bar. It's very late at night, and I've got some Italian dude on this arm that I've never met before. My cousin that I didn't know was going to be in Italy in my other arm, and I was like, holy crap. And we, at the top of our lungs in this bar with everybody else around us, are singing Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And it was a pretty magical moment. I'm not going to lie. First time I've listened to that song in 10 years, maybe. But
isn't it amazing what, like, a TV show like The Sopranos can do for, like, a second life of a song like that?
Yeah,
it's, I mean, crazy. That just totally, like, rebooted Journey and rebooted that song. And I mean, I'm a big Sopranos fan, so same. I'm the same way about it. It's an obscure song for the Rolling Stones, but whenever I hear Moonlight Mile, it just takes me back to, like, season 6 of The Sopranos and
yes,
everything that happened there. And it's just, like, I'm like, how did I not know that song existed before The Sopranos? But really, I didn't. So
yeah, I'm the same way. It's kind of Sopranos actually might be where I learned the song. That's actually not the Rolling Stone song. The Journey. Like of Journey, that might actually be where I learned.
Oh, you weren't around in the 80s like I was.
No. Maddie, Ray, what are your thoughts on Drew Aller? Did you look into him when he was coming out? What do you think about the QB's potential coming out next season? What's your thoughts on Drew Aller?
Yeah, I mean, listen, yeah, of course. You know, we did all the draft prep. And, you know, the one question I have about him that I do want to give him somewhat of the benefit of the doubt, Penn State didn't have receivers the last couple of years, and the coaching was so inconsistent. And then you hear people like Terry Smith come out and say, yeah, like this was not a good offense for Drew Aller. So that lends me to believe that, hey, maybe Mike McCarthy can get something out of him. And when it comes to, I mean, the QBs in this draft, yeah, I think people are pointing to this like, you know, it's a once in a 10 or 15 year event with, you know, potentially six guys who can go round one. Now, not all six of those guys, if that happens, not all six are going to turn out to be stars. There might be two. There might be three, like, franchise quarterbacks in that group, but there's also going to be busts, and that's what people don't really, you know, realize. But it's going to happen. If you look back at the history of the NFL draft, it's happened with number one overall picks. It's going to happen with picks 10, 12, 15, 18. You know that.
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. My thing on Drew Aller is, can you coach the clutch gene into him? Or did he have it and then lost it at Penn State? Which I think is part of it that everybody seems to forget when talking about Drew Aller. They're like, this guy stinks in big moments. I'm like, did he always stink in big moments? Or did he just stink in big moments when he showed up in Penn State? Because if he was like this in high school, then that's an issue. And I get it, that's a long ways away, but if it's there and it was just beat up out of him over his time at Happy Valley, then maybe Mike McCarthy could bring that back. And if they do, I mean, the kid's got everything else that you're looking for as long as Mike McCarthy could train. This is it. This is my – and I'm starting to see it, honestly. Like, it's not a lot. I'm really trying hard not to hype up Drew Aller. Like, I'm really trying hard not to do that because I don't want people to take it more seriously than it is. But Drew Aller's development from rookie minicamp to the end of OTAs, which was not significant, but it was something, made me kind of believe, oh, the quarterback school that Mike McCarthy keeps talking about, maybe it actually could work. Like, maybe there's a shimmer of optimism here with what we've seen just from him. And maybe that works out, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, go back, I don't know how many years, 25, 30 years, when you had Tom Brady couldn't even win the starting job at Michigan until he was a fifth-year senior. You know, you had Henson, who was the big shot there. And then Henson, you know, had a cup of coffee in the NFL, but he never materialized into anything. And Tom Brady, the greatest of all time as a sixth-round pick. You got to fall into the right situation. You got to want to be great like Brady wanted to be great. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's just not about talent, arm strength, and all that stuff you think it is.
Yeah. Drink Keystone. Wait, actually, Drink Keystone Life. We're going to get you here in a second. Did you see this one pop up? Good old Mark Foley, 22. Mark, I hope that's you. I pray there's no chance you hung around this long. I hope it's you. Drink Keystone Light. Can you bet on Prize Picks that Browns win the supplemental draft? And sorry, choosing to go back. Oh, and Sorsby choosing to go back to college. Maybe you would know, maybe you wouldn't. What happens if Brandon Sorsby gets declined by the NFL?
CFL, right?
For a year, right? And then you try to come in?
Yeah. What's the league that Doug Whaley's involved in? Is that the XFL or?
Yeah, the UFL.
UFL. He would have to go to one of those leagues, you know, work himself. I mean, Warren Moon did it. Doug Flutie did it. You know, you can go that route. It's not easy. You don't want to do it, but he would be forced to do it if he wants to continue playing football.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be Him in the UFL, Ellie, it would be a door open for the UFL to say, hey, this really is a developmental league. Come here. So yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Ratings would go up. I know that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It'd be my first ever UFL game that I watched.
People would watch spring football, actually.
Always. At least that team. That team would 100% be it. Maddie, since Aaron is the quarterback this year, what will they have to do to keep the Steelers from drafting a quarterback? Them, as in Will Howard and Drew Aller.
Yeah, I mean the record's going to play into it, too. Listen, if they go 10-7 and, you know, let's say they win a playoff game, they're drafting 24-25. I mean, that's going to make it harder to go get a quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, listen, if they finish out of the playoffs, and let's say they finish 7-10, you know Omar is going to try to make a move to get into the top 10. Because at that point, you're probably talking about going from 15 or 16 into the top 10.
Yes.
And Omar would easily be able to do that with draft picks and maybe a player.
So. Yes, I agree. There is almost no world in my head where the Steelers don't draft a quarterback in the, I don't want to say the first round is a guarantee, but I say the first two rounds where they don't draft another guy that gives them some sort of, you know, elite starter potential that Mike McCarthy could work with. And just like you said, you find yourself in any range, you're drafting pick 20 and they're expecting a Mac Jones type player that to be there at 15. The Steelers are going to try to go up to 15. Like they're going to do what they can to try and go get a quarterback. Their philosophy right now, McCarthy said it after the draft when they selected Aller. He spent 5 minutes talking about how it's the philosophy of drafting and adding and building a quarterback, and spent 2 seconds talking about why it's Drew Aller that they picked. He was just like, this is what you just keep adding to the room.
Yep.
Like, all right, that's what they're going to do. And they're not going to keep adding to the room with 6th-round picks and hoping that, you know, they all turn out to be great. They're going to start shooting big. So, again, what would have to happen for them to stop the Steelers from drafting a quarterback? Aaron would have to miss like 8 games and Will Howard would have to look great during those 8 games. And then you're going, all right, there it is. There it is. Brenny and the Bets. The best argument for a quote-unquote rebuild is letting Howard cook, eat up the rookie contract, continue to build beneath the vets, and truly see if Howard is a stud. In 2027, I agree with this. But my only pushback on this argument in particular is after 2027, you have to make a really hard decision because you can't waste the rest of this roster. You can't say, like, hey, 2027, we went 7-10 and Will looked like okay, pretty decent, but not great. He was clearly an issue. Let's try it again. No, you get one shot. That's whoever the starter in 2027 is gets one. If they're Will Howard, Drew Aller, or a rookie, not a rookie. If they're Will Howard or Drew Aller, gets one shot to prove that they're the guy.
And the nice thing about that future quarterback, whoever it turns out to be, they've done a really nice job of building up their offensive line, building up their skill guys. The running game, I think, with Dowdle and Warren's going to be better. There might come a time where the defense, all these guys kind of graduate into retirement, and maybe the defense, you know, isn't star-studded anymore.
Yes.
But often, no matter who the quarterback is, I think the offense is set up good around that person.
I agree. And that's – I think that's the part of, like, trying to continue to figure it out is – in Mike McCarthy's eyes, this team's going to be ready. You know, they're going to have an offensive line and running game and some wide receivers. Like, he's not going to try to waste it. Plus, he's 62 years old. Like, this guy is, he's got a 5-year contract. Who knows if he's going to get any years after that? He wants to win a Super Bowl now. Yep. That's how he's going to go. And let's finish it off here with Maddie. What do you guys like to do during the hiatus? Well, I crammed in a doctor's, dentist, and eye appointment all within the next week because, you know, you finally have time to do those things. What's the big plans for the summer vacation here besides, you know, Steelers Collective?
Yeah, well, went to New York, caught a Yankees game last week, went to Times Square, Little Italy, didn't go to real Italy like you, Noah. went to Little Italy for dinner, going to Columbus this weekend to visit my sister. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Get some stuff done.
Who'd the Yankees play?
Yankees played the Red Sox. So very interesting. Sick. I've gotten to see the Red Sox and Yankees at Yankee Stadium. When I was in college, I got to see the Bruins and Canadians at the Old Garden.
I also
got to see the Celtics and the Lakers at the Old Garden. And even if you don't think the Red Sox and Yankees are the best baseball rivalry, I got to see the Dodgers and the Giants a couple of years ago at Dodger Stadium. So I kind of pick and choose which big games I go to. So, yeah, Yankees, Red Sox, that was a bucket list item for me.
You've never seen the Pirates and the – I don't even know who the Pirates' rivals would be. The Reds? That's not on your big to-do list? That's actually awesome. That's pretty cool. I looked into – my dad's a big Knicks fan. So I was like, all right, if I could make it happen, we're going to New York. We're going to a game for New York. Looked it up. It was like $7,200 for a ticket. Yeah. I was like, I don't understand how that's even possible. I was actually excited at first. I accidentally clicked on San Antonio. It was like $600. I was like talking to my wife. I'm like, dude, I think like it's going to suck, but I think I can make this happen. And then I realized, and I was like, that's insane. That's insane. My plans are to do a lot of sleeping and, you know, hang out. That's it. I was singing Journey. We were done. We did our things.
You went to Italy. You're done.
Yeah, we're done. We're done for a while. We're chilling. All right. With that said, we're heading out of here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Steelers Collective, and find our podcast anywhere you get your podcast. With that said, we'll be back next week. Until then, enjoy another beautiful day in the burg.